Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America, the delightful, beautifully illustrated children's book, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak, by Freddie Fish and written by Lauren M. McGrath, is a guide to some of the revolutionary voices from the heart of Boston and the development of the market. Led by Lauren and her service dog, Honey Boy, Freddie the Fish introduces you to his friends, Gus the Grasshopper, Leo the Lion, Eunice the Unicorn, and Freddie's grandmother, Maud the Sacred Cod. Secrets along the way, activity pages, a fun book for the entire family, an enticing invitation to visit the hub of the universe. It was written to meet the Massachusetts curriculum activities and objectives for 8 to 11-year-olds. Lauren is a retired National Park Interpretive Ranger, Boston National Historical Park. She's an occupational therapist, yoga, and mindfulness teacher, author of If Boston's Buildings Could Speak by Freddie the Fish. Lauren is our guest on This Week in America. Lauren, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Rick.
I mentioned an invitation to visit Boston. You may come across a victory party of some type there. As the video portion of this, you'll see that Lauren is wearing her New England Patriots hat. Boy, every year you can sort of pencil in that celebration, can't you? What a city to live in to be celebrating sports teams.
Oh, it sure is fun. I'm not much of a sports fan, only when they win.
Hey, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's the fun way to do it. Oh, they're winning, they're having a party? Yeah, I've been a lifetime fan, and go ahead and you participate and enjoy everything. The book is so well done, and I mentioned it really is a book for everybody, and a book that a child can go back to a number of times and learn from and be entertained by the book, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak. Talk about where the idea came from to put this book together.
We had done a program for the children to come and visit the sites, the old State House and Faneuil Hall, and the idea was to create a little story to introduce them to the characters that they were going to be seeing. And it just made such perfect sense to have Freddie tell it because he went to the Boston Harbor School.
Well, yeah, and he does an excellent job. He's a very talented writer, the writer on the book, Freddie the Fish. How much fun was this to put this together in terms of maybe finding out some things about your city that you didn't even know as you were doing research and really looking into the sites there to incorporate in the book?
Well, that's one of the shocking things, Rick, that actually when I wrote the story back in 2008, I wasn't aware, speaking in Faneuil Hall, that Peter Faneuil was actually a slave trader. And it was really shocking. I used to praise him as being like the first entrepreneur of our country and this great stuff. And I just, like I said, I love it that I actually have Freddie say in one of the secrets that he knew, because a lot of people don't know that one of the first markets was actually by Faneuil Hall.
Now, it's interesting. That's something that, and of course, I don't live in the New England area, but I was not familiar with that part of the history as well. I said the book was for everybody. There's some interesting tidbits there for everybody. You mentioned the hall. What are some of the other sites and locations, historic locations in Boston that you focus on in the book?
Well, it does bring the children to the State House, which is the Capitol on Beacon Hill, because, of course, I encourage them to find Freddie's grandmother, which is Maud the Sacred Cod. And if they're lucky to do the tour, they'll actually meet Freddie's cousin, Hank the Holy Mackerel. So obviously, it's the heart of the Freedom Trail with those three primary buildings. But I do talk a lot about the women that were never featured during that time in history. And particularly important is the incredible women that raised the funds to have the Bunker Hill Monument completed. They ran out of money. It was a woman who wrote an article in a magazine, but many bakers as well raised all this money. Now, I think it was like $30,000 back then to complete the monument, which took 25 years.
The book is If Boston's Buildings Could Speak by Freddie the Fish, written by Lauren M. McGrath. Her website is winningwellnesswarriors.org. The book's, of course, available at Amazon, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about introducing Freddie's cast of characters. I mentioned some of them in the introduction. Talk about, these are colorful characters kids can relate to, and they're actually an important part of telling the story as well, aren't they?
Well, you're not kidding. I did know that Gus the Grasshopper was a time capsule, but I never knew until, as I said, years later, all the restoration that they do to the Boston buildings, they had taken down Leo the Lion, and I call Eunice the Elegant Unicorn, and they were actually time capsules as well. So it's really cool because there's also a time capsule at the State House. So it was really fun to, as all the years went by, to learn so many interesting things that were happening to the buildings. And as I said, to know that they had, you know, secrets inside them were very interesting.
And you expose some of those secrets in the book, and it's more than just a book that tells a story. You've got hands-on activities, projects inspired by the book, drawings. You've got Freddy the Fish puppets, hats, maps, bonus fun in the book. This really is a book that a child can go back numerous times and enjoy, and family members could enjoy that too. I'm sure as they're going through maybe reading the book along with or reading it to a child, they're like you are, discovering some things for the first time that they didn't know about.
Well, and there's also trick questions because, you know, I asked the kids if they pay taxes. And, you know, you have to kind of think about that because they probably do pay sales taxes indirectly. And so there's a couple of fun little things about it. But I really do like it because it gets kids to the library and to research the history of the buildings that they, you know, are in their community. And, of course, mapping seems to be a skill or that no one knows about anymore because of this internet and everything being instant. And the other thing I love, Rick, is that I ask people to ask a Bostonian, if they do come to visit, which I hope they do, if they know why the Great Blue Hills were called the Great Blue Hills. Because I make it seem as if they were called Blue Hills because of the wild blueberries, but that's not really the truth.
It's a great story, though. I like that the book is such a delightful book. If Boston's Buildings Could Speak by Freddie the Fish, written by our guest on the program, Lauren M. McGrath. Her website is winningwellnesswarriors.org. The book's available, of course, at Amazon. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. With you as part of the outreach, getting out of the community, we'll talk about a lot of the activities you're involved there in Boston, is your service dog, Honey Boy. Talk about that and how much fun that has to be for you and for the kids as well.
Well, you know, I have yet to actually give a tour with Honey Boy leading the pack. You can see him pictured in the back there. He's sitting on the other side over there. But he is a delightful little dog. And the best thing is, you know, children aren't afraid of him. So he really does draw quite a bit of attention. And it's so fun because he actually can walk off leash in the city of Boston, which everybody gets all freaked out by. But he's such a well-behaved dog that it would be very, very special to get to walk the Freedom Trail with him and the kids.
You know, I mentioned that you're involved in many of the activities there. I know recently St. Patrick's Day, the Patriots Day. Actually, St. Patrick's Day is what Boston's Evacuation Day, that's how it's celebrated. See, I learned something a little bit about history there as well. That's St. Patrick's Day, that's what it's called there?
Yeah, that's considered the first official victory of the American Revolution. And the oddest thing about it is that George Washington was not even going to wait for the cannons. This man, his name was Henry Knox, led the expedition, where they actually do have markers all throughout New York. And, well, he went to Canada, obviously, and all throughout New York. They call it a particular trail that you can actually follow. But it really was a phenomenal thing that they made these fleshines, they called them. They made them look like fake cannons because they really didn't have enough cannons to threaten the British to evacuate.
Interesting.
But sure enough, you know, they did, because it was quite a frightening scene for them. So it was really an amazing story that, as I said, nobody knows about.
Where did this interest in history come from? I can tell your passion as you're telling these stories and as you were finding out things, some of that having to do with the book, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak. Have you always been interested in history?
Well, that's an excellent question, because I actually could not really read history very well when I was in school, and because I had reading problems. So no, I never liked history, and it was pretty much dates, and they were people that didn't mean anything to me.
Yes.
But as I started to work in Boston and learn about who these people were, it had a totally different perspective of history, which I think makes it really fun.
Lauren McGrath, our guest on the program. The book is If Boston's Buildings Could Speak. It's available at our website, winningwellnesswarriors.org. Of course, at Amazon, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I started to ask about the activities you're involved in Boston with St. Patrick's Day or Boston's Evacuation Day, Patriots Day as well. Talk about that, being able to get out, seeing these kids, the response, you know, the smiles on their faces as they're in taking part in your message. That's got to be quite rewarding that they're getting turned into history buffs at a very early age and learning something about their city at the same time.
Oh, it was so delightful to be able to march in the parade, because I'm such a cheerleader. I always was in high school and all. And I would just cheer the entire, like, 3.5 hours. And of course, I would say Happy Evacuation Day, which no one knew what that meant. but all the kids would, you know, come running out and want to shake your hand, and it's really a fun parade.
It's hard to believe Hallmark has missed that, an opportunity to sell more cards during the year. So maybe they'll be watching and understand there's another holiday they've missed out on up in New England. I mentioned with this information, if somebody could be reading it, other parts of a country, and thinking, you know, there really is a lot of history there that would be a good place to visit. What's it like for tourists when they come in? I could just imagine it's like one tourist attraction, and I don't mean that in a negative way, an historic attraction after another.
Well, the most delightful thing is it's a very young city because of the many, many universities in the area. And it's so walkable because of the greenways. It's interesting. I'm trying to remember the name of the preservation architect who created Boston Public Garden, which is all landfill, and he has a greenway that just continues throughout. But it's very beautiful because there's lots of parks, and the city has really made it so friendly for children. They have carousels all around. There's the Frog Pond and the Boston Common. So it's a very fun city to walk, and now there's lots of bicycles around because it's, you know, it's a small little city, and so if you want to ride a bike to tour around that way, that's a great thing. And of course the Harbor Islands, there are so many wonderful ferries that can take you over to the islands. You wouldn't ever think, and I mentioned that in my book, because one year I actually swam off the coast of one of the islands, and I could literally see my body. The water was so clear. It was a little cold, but I'm used to it.
Well, yeah, you are a New Englander, so you get used to that. It sounds like a great place to visit. You are a very talented writer. Are you working on another project now?
I actually have been working on my memoir. My dad never wrote his, and I am very much like my dad. For example, having anxiety as a kid, I always had a belly, and so I used to get up and do my sit-ups like he would do his exercises every morning. So I'm sort of losing my train of thought there for a second. I just got too excited thinking about my dad.
Oh, yes, but I don't blame you.
Anyway, so it is particularly fun because I'm born in Boston, and to have, you know, those roots is very, very, makes it even more meaningful for me.
Yes, and then to learn things as you're going through the writing process. The book, as I mentioned, is If Boston's Buildings Could Speak. The book is a republished book now available for sale at its lowest retail price, available for sale in all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot more. Also for available for sale is an ebook, paperback, and hardcover. Book is also at Lauren's website, winningwellnesswarriors.org. What has this experience been like for you? Not only just writing the book, but getting it out there and being able to talk about it and seeing the kids and their reaction. This has to be a very meaningful experience for you.
I have shared it with many of my neighbors and their children, but I've yet to actually read the story to a group of children. I've tried a couple of times at the local community art center, but nobody signed up. So I have a program that I'm going to be doing next week, actually, at the library, which is great. So the kids are going to make their own tri-corner hat, they'll have their own little emblem to put on, and it'll be really cute. So I can't wait to actually read it to a group of kids.
Yeah, I'd be anxious to find out what the reaction is, because it is such a well-done, charming, delightful book, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak. I know you've been working with Page Turner to get the word out about the book to people all across the country. What's that experience been like working with Page Turner?
I have the greatest publisher that I used to joke with almost every other day. And he went on to bigger ventures, I think, in Australia, actually. So I don't speak to the people as frequently as I used to, but I do have to say that there's so much about publishing that I'm not familiar with.
Yes.
That I really have felt very trusting of their advice, and they've been so accommodating to me in that, you know, if I'm able to take advantage of these promotions that they offer, you know, they really have met me halfway. For example, even in the beginning, I wanted them to work more on the illustrations, enhancing the illustrations, than the marketing. And so we switched sort of the funding to do that. And it just has been, as I said, very, you know, interesting, exciting, and kind of overwhelming, because there's just so much to it. And of course, there's all these companies that try to scam you, and that, of course, happened. And it's just been...
Well, it's nice to have somebody there that you can trust, because writing a book is one thing. That's just the beginning of the process to get that out where people can read the book and enjoy it. It is part of the process, and you've worked with Page Turner on that. Just a minute or so left in the program, you mentioned the illustrations. Talk about that. I neglected to mention that as we were talking about the book, because that's such an important part of the book, and obviously was important to you as well.
Well, I have to say, I was really lucky. My sister helped me with the original sketches. So they had something to go by when I presented that to them. But I'll tell you, they really have their own ideas, and I had to keep telling them, no, Freddie has a tri-corner hat. It's not a baseball hat, because the Red Sox had just won the World Series, so they put a baseball cap on him. And I was like, well, you know, did you guys read the story? But anyway, I mean, so it was kind of funny. So I really had a lot of great ideas. One thing I was kind of disappointed, though, is in the page where I have Freddie in the water and the chests of tea are being dumped, you know, into the ocean, the harbor, I had one of the chests hit him on the head, and I had the words, ouch. And I thought that was really cute.
Yes, I do too.
They took that out.
I do too. I like that. Freddie's a human too. He's got emotions and feelings just like the rest of us. But The book is beautifully illustrated. It's such a charming book, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak, not just for the kids 8 to 11 that I was talking about before, but children of all ages and adults, family members as well, by Freddie the Fish, written by Lauren McGrath, who's been our guest on the program. Again, the book available a number of places, including Paige Turner's bookstore, pageturner.us. It's available at Lauren's website, winningwellnesswarriors.org. And you can link on to all of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Lauren, this has been fun. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. A pleasure. Hopefully we'll stay in touch and do it again. Thank you. Good luck with the kids in making the presentation and reading the book. I'm sure they'll love it.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you. It's been fun. Lauren McGrath, our guest on the program, If Boston's Buildings Could Speak by Freddie the Fish. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly to our website for that information, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.